Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up January 8th through the 10th in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Steven. Steven, how are you?
Great. Thank you, sir.
Well, it's exciting to be in the Christmas season. It's one of my favorite times of year. Just, I love just being reminded that we have a God who said he wanted to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And that is so profound and so powerful. And for those who open themselves up to faith in Jesus, it is a life-transforming thing to realize that God came down to be with us. And so I pray that this holiday season, this Christmas, that you are being reminded of the reason for the season and being reminded of the great grace of God that has come to us through his Son, Jesus. We are grateful for those of you who have come alongside of us this year and partnered with us, and we want to share with you about the workshops, our Gateway to Freedom workshops that are coming up in 2016. We are excited because we're able to expand the number of workshops we're doing next year. In 2016, it appears we're going to be able to do about 14 workshops between the states of Texas, Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Oregon. So, if you are in those regions or if you need to get somebody to a workshop, just go to our website at gatewaymen.com. That's the workshop website, gatewaymen.com, and you can learn about all the various locations and how you can register for one of those three-day weekends. So, Steven, I'm going to pass it off to you, and we're going to be talking about loving your wife well and just, you know, what does that mean? And hopefully this will be a helpful broadcast for husbands out there who maybe are wondering, man, I want to be a good husband. I want to do well. And it's not just about breaking free from secrets and addictive patterns, but there's maybe more to it. And we want to try to provide some instruction this week on helping men in that area.
So this is going to be sort of personal too, this discussion, because I want you to chime in. And you're married. I've been married. My wife passed away, but I'm with a woman that I'm going, so I'm going to be remarried. And I just think wife a lot. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that needs a wife. I don't want to go get a cabin in Wyoming and live in the woods and skin
by yourself,
skin deer and trap little animals. And anyway, not
well, now you just offended some of our Wyoming listeners.
All those trapping guys out there. Sorry. So I wrote down 10 statements that I think men should say and meditate on and repeat to themselves, to cry out to their God with, to remind themselves, to even use to bless their wives. Mm. So here goes. We're talking about thoughts about our wives. And so thought number one is, I have a beautiful wife.
Amen.
I just have a wife is a beautiful thing, and there's beauty in every woman. There's just something that makes her special, that makes her lovely, that makes her beautiful. She's made in the very image of God, and I think women like to be told they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I want to say about that, because this is one of those words that I think there's a lot of words that I feel like I'm on a personal mission to snatch out of the grip of our secular and humanistic, materialistic society. And this is one of them, because I think pornography in particular has so narrowed the definition of this idea, of this word, that beauty is only contained in the physical. And I love what you're saying about, you know, the idea of expressing to your wife her beauty, because this word is so much bigger than that. Yes, it absolutely contains physical beauty, but it's so much bigger. The idea of beautiful, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind, and I don't want to, this is not a one-to-one parallel because a woman far surpasses this, but if you've ever been captured in a moment in nature, maybe where there's been a sunset and all of the senses that are part of that, you know, the visual,
yes,
even the smell of the air, whatever, and it's so overwhelming because it contains the entire experience. That is what I think needs to be expressed to your wife, is that the essence of her entire being is captivating and beautiful, and from top to bottom, emotional, physical, spiritual, she is a beautiful person.
And you know, as you're saying that, what occurs to me is it's what we're going to say when we see God, right? Mm-hmm. That he is beautiful, and that he put a part of himself in all of his creation. And so when you look at nature, you see beauty, and you see animals and the creation.
And amazingly, it's something that he's going to say to us, because he makes us beautiful. So I think we just need to express that to our wives.
Practice heaven right here on this side. So I have two other thoughts. One is, I've decided to save that word for my wife. Only my wife is beautiful. Mm. So any other female can be pretty. Yeah, she's pretty. But I saved this title for my wife.
That's good.
And I want to say it to my wife. I'm going to try to say it to her every day. Mm. Now, I don't want it to get old, but I don't want to let a day pass where, if a woman wants to be beautiful, wouldn't that be a nice thing to give her once a day?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I this is an experiment we should do, Stephen. I want to see how many wives out there, how many women, okay, you don't have to be married, how many women will respond to this, and you can send your response to, you can send your response just to our you can send it straight to me. You can send it to jonathan@bebroken.com. I'm just curious to see how many responses we get. If there is a woman out there that thinks this is a good idea, that thinks they would not get tired of hearing on a daily basis that she is beautiful, I want you to just send me an email and say, I think I'm a woman that's like that, because I think it's very
and tell us a line or two why.
Yeah.
Because that would give us insight. We're in training ourselves. But also the line, don't forget your thought. But also when he says that, it must be special. It can't be as he's running out the door, taking out the trash. Hey, you're beautiful. No, he has to stop in a quiet moment and say, you are a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm. Because I think there are certain things that are hardwired into us. And I think one of the things that's hardwired into a woman is just that, that wanting to feel special, wanting to feel beautiful. I think it's hardwired into a man to want to feel significant. Like I'm doing something of a purpose and that kind of thing. But anyway, I think...
You know, that's good. Don't tell your husband you're beautiful.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work the other way. It's like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
You know, and then, but that's an interesting thing because a wife could praise her husband by saying, you're a good man. Mm-hmm. You work hard for this family. Thank you for your sacrifices. That would go, I think, better with the man.
Because what we're talking about here, I think, is that whole idea of a woman longing to be cherished, a man longing to be respected. And I think that's kind of how we are wired as men and women.
And customize these comments as needed, okay? Mm-hmm. One size does not fit all. Number two, my wife loves me. My wife picked me. She puts up with me. She thinks about me. She'll bring me something to eat when there's nothing to eat. She'll buy me a shirt when my shirts are getting ratty. My wife will sacrifice herself and give herself to me. My wife loves me.
Now, why I think this is important is because as men, we so easily take this for granted. I think as men, and I'm speaking for myself, but I think this is true of many men, is we can get very tunnel visioned into our various projects. And these can all be good things. I'm not talking about a guy who's out there doing, you know, being sloppy with his sexuality or just being in a, you know, doing sinful things. I'm talking about just how we sometimes as men, we can get so compartmentalized and tunnel visioned into our various projects, whether it's be a project around the house or a project at work or whatever else. And we just begin to take for granted, she loves me. I have a wife who picked me, like you said. I have a wife who's with me. I have a wife who cares for me. And I think it's just significant to bring that to mind
and
regularly.
She's giving that part of herself, the lover part of herself, the heart part of herself, to me, not to somebody else, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So number three, my wife tries to please me. She wants to know me, and my wife tries to please me, to be thoughtful about me, to anticipate some of the things I need. I know when you're going on a trip, I think I have this right, your wife gets everything ready for you.
Well,
she lays it out.
Well, what she does is, it's not necessarily that, but a lot of times she gets her and the kids to put notes hidden in my luggage.
Oh, okay. I knew you were telling me they do something special.
Yeah.
But they'll put notes to Dad to try and encourage Dad and remind Dad. And all
she puts notes in there too, so.
But my wife tries to please me. I mean, sure, she's pulled in 100 directions if you had kids and if she works and all that. But she really tries to be pleasing. I think there's value in that, and we have to remind ourselves. And so we're sort of pulling apart this love theme into its pieces. But I want to be pleased, and she tries to please me with certain foods. And, you know, I mean, it's sort of details that you know, or I can't remember them all right now, but I'm just thinking about being thoughtful and planning ahead and planning something and being ready so that I'm pleased and getting foods that I like to eat and organizing and thoughtful things and taking care of calling Mom back when I didn't answer. And she's really trying to be very pleasing to me.
Well, and you're taking one angle on this. I'm going to take a totally different angle because you're taking the angle of what she's attempting to do to please me. When I first read this statement, it just simply says, she pleases me.
Ooh, that's good.
Which means I'm putting the responsibility. And here's what I'm going to say to the guys out there. It is not your responsibility, the responsibility of your wife to do things for you in order for you to have pleasure in her.
Mm.
She is to be pleasing to you because she is your wife. I think of it this way. There's a proverb that talks about, that actually gets kind of sexual, and it talks about the wife who is a loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. Guess who the burden of responsibility is on for them to be satisfying? It's on the husband, not on the wife.
Mm.
It's saying you are to find pleasure. You are to find satisfaction in your wife because she is yours. And so I think another way to look at this is saying, you know what? In all of her brokenness, in all of her flaws, in all of her imperfection, she pleases me.
That's good.
And that's powerful because it's saying, I'm not going to find excuses for why she doesn't please me or for why I... No, no, I'm bearing the responsibility of saying, embracing her fully and saying, you please me.
That's good. And I do want this to be on the husband, not on the wife, right? So my wife pleases me. Just that, my wife pleases me. And I find pleasure in having a wife and the friendship and the companion and that she is. So that's number three. Number four, my wife wants to be with me. My wife wants to be with me. That woman wants to be with me. Of all the people, she picks me and she wants to be with me.
And you know what? Even in our ministry, even with all of the pain that so many couples go through, I am so amazed at so many wives who continue to express their longing for their husband. It just shows the heart of these women that they truly do want their husband. Yeah, I mean, it's painful. It's so difficult when all of the secrets come out. But they do remember. There is a time where they go, I did choose this man. I want. And, you know, even in the midst of all that pain, I think one of the reasons that it's so painful is because there is a longing in her heart for her husband to be a good man, for her husband to be with her. And so I think that's something that, again, men often take for granted, but we need to remember, wow, she picked me, you know.
And she wants me. She wants a relationship with me. And so, number five, I want to protect that love. Mm-hmm. I want to protect the love that is growing, and I want to keep it growing, and I want to keep that love safe. I want to be the protector of this love story between this man and this woman. So it's my responsibility to protect and preserve and to hold on to this little love story that's being built 1 year after another year, layered upon another year. This love story, it's mine to protect.
And guys, I want you to understand that protecting that love story does not mean that you make sure your wife has a nice car and a big house and all of these creature comforts. That's not what does it. And a lot of guys get the provider, protector roles confused. They think that by providing, they're protecting her. And it's like, no. The protection aspect is totally about that bond, that relationship, that continuing to grow and explore and solidify that bond, because it's not, our natural drift is not toward the light or toward deeper intimacy. Our natural drift is into these self-centered, isolated corners. And so it takes intentionality to say, I'm going to protect this because I'm going to keep pursuing her. So I guess that's what I'm saying is, protection is about pursuit, not just, hey, I'm putting food on the table, blah, 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 you know, on the provision part.
That's good. And not taking it for granted, but really treating it like it's something sacred, mm-hmm. right? I want to protect this as you would any other valuable that you own. Protect it. So number five, I want to grow old with her.
Actually, I think that's number six, because I think we just did five.
One, two, three, four, five. Oh, this is numbered wrong, isn't it? Number six, I want to grow old with her. Thank you. So I am growing. Every day that passes, I am growing, and I'm growing older, and I want her to be on the journey with me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sloppy. I take it for granted, not attend to it. Every day, I want to take care of my friend, myself. And the growth, let it be part of this foundation.
Well, Elaine and I this month are celebrating 20 years of marriage.
Wow.
And Well, I don't believe we are old by any stretch of the imagination. What I am realizing is as we get older, and especially as I see my kids rapidly growing up, I mean, we're talking about just a handful of years left before they're all gone in terms of the empty nest kind of thing. And as I see that, Stephen, I'm getting more and more focused on this idea of growing old with her, because I realize, you know what, there, when parents especially are in a season of life where all their kids are at home, this is not necessarily a front of mind thing, growing old with my spouse, right?
Right.
But as the kids get closer and closer to being gone, I realize, you know what, without her, I'm alone. And I don't do alone well.
Yeah.
And I just realized that there's such a value to that presence of her life, of her, you know, of her being connected to me, and we're doing life together. And could there be new dreams in that empty nest phase? And you know what I mean? It's just like the companionship is so powerful that I don't think you recognize that on the front end, because on the front end it's all sexual and romantic, and there's all these
and
building in terms of like kids and all this, that then when you start getting to another side of it, you start thinking, you know what, I'm going to be growing old no matter what. I mean, you can't stop time.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to do that with your companion is just such a powerful thing. It's a different aspect of romance. It's a different aspect of growth in the relationship.
So after 28 years of not my wife dying, it's like this whole institution just stops. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about, growing with someone, building one day upon another day, and then one day the program ends and everything you built, it's gone. Mm-hmm. When that person leaves, it's gone. That institution is gone. So you go back again. And it's very powerful. I really appreciate what you said. It really blessed me to be mindful of the fact that we're building something bigger than our kids, and we're building it for eternity,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're going to help each other go from here, waltz right in. We're living eternity now, waltz right into the other side. So thank you. That's a blessing. So number 7, I want to give love. I don't want to just receive it and appreciate her beauty and her desire to please me. I really want to let love flow out of my heart. I want gratitude and blessings and sacrifice and hard work and the money. I want to give that love to someone and bank it somewhere,
mm-hmm.
because the kids are fleeting, right? I've got some grown ones, but your partner is there, and she's sort of a piggy bank, if you will, that you're depositing in one coin a day into your love bank and saying, I choose you. I want to give myself to you. I want to invest here with you. I give my love to you.
And I'm convinced that as men, you know, these guys out here that want to know about return on investment, you know, ROI and all that kind of stuff, the key to this is the return on the investment is not necessarily here and now. If you're doing this, if you're giving love for the sake of a return here and now, then I don't think you understand the big concept of love. Love is not about a wage. It's not about saying, I'll do this and then you do that. Mm-hmm. It's saying, because of the vow and the commitment that I made before God, and He is love, then I want to model what He is like to you. And as I do that, guess where the return on that investment comes? It doesn't come this side of heaven. It comes the other side of heaven. So by pouring into your wife, you are banking great reward in heaven and seeing. And also, I think when we love our wives well, they blossom, they flourish. Yes. It helps. I just think it helps their spirit. It just there's nothing bad that can come out of loving your wife well.
And I was emphasizing giving, right?
Give, yeah.
That whole part of just, are you going to half give? Are you going to quarter give? Are you going to sort of give? No, I really want to 100% give myself to this woman in this relationship. Number eight, I want to grow. I want to grow with her. Mm. I want to grow. I don't want to stay stunted. I don't want to be mature. I don't want to be selfish. I want to grow and enjoy this process that our Father created from birth until death, right? Our bodies, we're on this long journey. And either you're going to try and hold someplace. I mean, you see some guys still trying to be 20 when they're 40 or 60. I mean, they're trying to not grow, not go to the next phase. I want to enjoy every phase of this journey. I want to grow and embrace the challenges of every phase of this journey with my wife.
And here's the good news, guys. Typically speaking, you didn't marry somebody just like you. So you've got the best asset you can have in terms of growing. You know why? Because in every point of friction, conflict, difference, you have an opportunity to grow. And it works both ways.
Yes.
So I think if both spouses can get on this growth journey, they can realize, I already have the best helper in that process because I have this person. You know, a wife can say, I've got this man who, my goodness, he doesn't think like a woman. He doesn't act like a, I don't get him. And you got this husband that's going, man, this woman, she doesn't think like, I don't get. And if you, instead of looking at it as like, oh my goodness, conflict, criticism, you can go, wow, I've got a great asset here in sharpening me, in knocking off some of those edges and helping me understand a woman. She can understand a man. And so if couples would start looking at it that way, rather than I've got to convert them to my side and I've got to make them who I am, you might be able to start really growing.
That's good. So number nine, I want to be loved like crazy. Mm. I want to be in a great love story with a lot of love flowing both ways. I want to be someone special. I really want to be loved. And you know, underneath every attic of a man out there is a man that wants to be loved like crazy. And he thinks he has to go out there and make a fantasy to get the love that he wants. And it's like, I think wives are all the potential and all the need and all the fullness that God has for us. And so I want to be loved like crazy in this relationship. And I say that it sort of sounds selfish, but I'm expressing what I want. That she can express what she wants, but I want to be loved like crazy, loved well.
And I think this gets back to, you know, as you're saying that, I think, you know, one of the things we highlight a lot of times in the workshops is this idea of the little boy inside, you know, and I think so many men struggle with the idea that we are meant to still have the heart of a little child. I mean, Jesus even said, do not keep these kids from coming to me because such is the kingdom of God, you know, for theirs is such as the kingdom of God. And so I think we often misunderstand what maturity looks like because we didn't think I'm not supposed to have any kind of childlikeness. We aren't to be childish, but we're absolutely supposed to have childlikeness. So when you're saying, I want to be loved like crazy, it makes me think of how a kid thinks.
Yes.
And how a all kid excited. Feels.
Yes.
It's like, what 7-year-old does not want to absolutely be swept up in the arms of his dad or his mom,
yes,
and spun around and tickled and hugged and kissed.
And loved like crazy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so I think that may we never get away from that. That's what's supposed to be in our hearts, is to be loved like crazy.
That's great, because that's who he is, right? He loves us like crazy. So we can practice loving like crazy. And then number 10 is, I found someone who loves me like crazy.
Mm.
Just crazy in love with me. Isn't that a wonderful thing when you find somebody that's crazy in love with you and you want to be loved and they're crazy in love and then you can be crazy in love back with them?
Mm-hmm.
There's a sacred, holy, God-like reflection.
And that's just it. When we recognize that the God of the universe is the one who loves us like crazy, then I think it frees us up to love one another like crazy. So folks, if we hope this has been helpful. I know that maybe for some of you this has been painful because you're saying, this is the goal, this is what I would like, but we're not there. Well, we want to help you on your journey to be able to get to a place where you can grow more effectively in these comments we've made here. In order to do that, just contact us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.